by Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
In the DC universe, Marvel universe, Twitter sphere, listeners, the X-sphere, I was told. Signal, he's back, he's in charge, he's telling things what to do. Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 149, one away from the Holzman and Mega Media Spectacular, which everyone's dying to be on. The guest list has it needs a bouncer. Let's put it that way. We are a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by batman-on-film.com. Make sure you check out all the other great shows we're associated with by hanging on over to BLF and clicking the podcast drop down. I'm your co-host from the other side of the river, and I've never left this country this year. I wanted you to know, by the way. Still here on good old American soil. Peter M. Veroff. Today we're recording on April 14th, 2024. And it's always a great show for you today. Before we get into the good stuff, I'd like to remind you of our faithful listeners. If you take the time to rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts and we read your review on air, you just won our monthly prize pack contest. So please be in it to win it. Now, let me introduce my partner in crime, the only American to mark his territory in Buckingham Palace, the champion of Long Island, the voice of America. Ladies and gentlemen, most importantly, ladies, he's back. He's here. He's got things to say. He's Eric Holzman.
Thank you, Pete, for that rousing introduction.
It's been 2 weeks. I got to get my Holzy out.
I am back.
You're back.
Yes.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you're just a little wiener schnitzel here.
I don't know where you're looking, but thank you. thank you for that. Yeah, I'm back. It was a really nice trip. I had a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first time overseas, so it was a big
moment.
A lot
of dual citizenship, right?
No.
A lot of mums out there?
It's a big city, I'll say that. Ah. A lot going on.
Bright lights in the big city. You're an all-star. Wait.
Yeah, I got a lot accomplished when I was over there.
That's what I'm talking about, baby. Holzman!
So it was good. Did a lot of the sightseeing stuff. Tower of London, London Eye, The Shard, Tower Bridge. It's funny, I did not go to the palace. Saw it from afar and I took pictures of it from a distance, but it's really not my thing. So I didn't go to see Buckingham Palace.
Did they ask you not to go near the palace to draw attention away from the palace, being you were internationally known?
No truth to those rumors.
Okay. So you were traveling incognito.
I was. I have to sometimes, you know.
Okay.
I want to keep the peace wherever I go, and sometimes it just can't. So, you know, but it was fun. It was a good time. I definitely, if you haven't been to London, I definitely suggest you go over there, all the historical stuff. And then it's a fun city too. It's very similar. New Yorkers, if you're listening, it's a similar city in the sense that it has a subway. You can navigate it without, you know, having to drive anywhere, basically just take public transportation all over the place. So it's a very, very easy city to navigate to.
Do they have sports talk radio?
I don't know. I didn't even turn on the radio once when I was there. I did watch a little TV, a lot of the BBC channels and
a little bit of telly.
Yeah, it was. They have some of our channels too. Like they have the USA Network, and they have other channels over there that we have here. But the interesting thing to me with the commercials, just watching the commercials with the different, just how they're done, similar, but then with the different accent. For me, it was just a weird thing to watch and to hear, but it's very similar to New York. It's a very similar place to New York, in my opinion. So outside of the old buildings from like the early the one church I took a picture of was founded in 625.
Well, six.
Yeah, 625.
Single digits.
Yes. So triple digits, not, yeah, the triple digits.
Well, usually you go like 19, right? It's, I don't know. Whatever. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So it was like that. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys are on, if you guys follow me on Facebook, if you go to my page, you can see my pictures. Maybe I'll post them in the group. I didn't think of it, but yeah, I'll post them in the group. So you guys can see my pictures from the trip.
Do you see any fanboy stuff over there? Like, do they have like any, is, I don't know. Like, I feel like Marvel's pretty big. So is DC. I'm just wondering, is there anything comparable?
I mean, I saw kids obviously wearing, you know, Marvel clothing and definitely Batman stuff. I saw a couple kids wearing Batman stuff. I did see, Pete, sports wise, I did see a lot of guys wearing Yankee hats. So,
well, 12-3 will do that for you.
So, yeah, so that was cool. That was cool to see a lot of shirts with New York on it. A lot of, I mean, obviously that doesn't mean
anything. Did you hear the American accent? Did you hear that voice?
There was a lot of Americans there when I was there. I went to the Benjamin Franklin house, which is his last standing residence anywhere in the world.
Okay.
And all the people that were there were American. There was not one English person at that tour when I went. Mm-hmm. All of us were American. So, they were people from Atlanta, a couple from Boston. It was a nice. That part was cool. Seeing that was cool too. I didn't know how revered he was over there. So that was a pretty cool thing to learn. Just a really, really cool experience. So again, you guys, if you've never been overseas and you're from an English speaking country like we are, it's a very easy trip to do. So.
All right. Yeah. Holzimon International. Holzimon Worldwide. Where's the next destination? You have your eye on someplace? Where's the, what are you looking to conquer next?
I'm planning on going to Germany in September, October for Oktoberfest.
Homeland.
Yeah. Hopefully go to where my dad's family's from. I've never been over there. So that's the plan I have right now to go there.
Is it footy season? Are you going during footy season?
I don't know. I don't know the season. I think
that's something you'd have to check out over there. Right? Like that's got to be the biggest sport. Germany. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going like Russia, it'd be hockey, but you probably won't come back. but Germany, you'll come back.
Yeah. It might be. I don't know. I feel like they play all year round. I don't know. I had a chance. One of our, Craig, one of our listeners is also English. We were conversing while he was there. And he had tickets to, he has season tickets to Tottenham. And he had asked if I was available on Sunday, he had asked me to go.
He's a big Spurs fan.
Yeah. So he had asked me if I could meet up with him. I couldn't. We didn't get a chance to link up either. That's partially my fault about that one. But
I've known Craig on Twitter for years. I've often wondered what he sounds like.
Well, he was here in New York, remember, around Christmas time, because he was asking you, both of us,
places. Yeah, I was unavailable.
We tried, but he wound up being unavailable. He didn't have the time.
But I've read his words for years. Never heard his voice.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think I have either. So it would have been cool. So I'm sorry. And then, of course, as you know, Tom McClellan lives there too. Mm-hmm. We tried to link up, but he had to go into work, so we couldn't make that happen either.
Too busy watching BVS, man. So. I know he loves that movie.
So that was that. But next, guys, I plan on going. I probably make my way back over there. It is a fun city. There are things I didn't get to do when I was there, so I'd like to go back someday.
I feel like you'd be a big Ireland guy.
Get there. That was I was gonna. I think I just told you this actually before we came on air. I was gonna do a semester abroad there in college, and I wound up not going for a bunch of reasons, but yeah. So it's always somewhere I wanted to visit as well. So I probably will make it over there.
Lay down the old shillelagh.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ooh, that's Holzman, baby. He doesn't kiss and tell.
I rule out nothing. I'll put it that way. I don't rule out anything. So
he's down to experiment.
If stuff happens, stuff happens.
That's there right.
So
just hold on. Whoa, where's that thumb going? So anyway, that's Holzman, baby. That's all.
Let's try and keep this a little, at least.
Two weeks. No holes. I got it all in me. I haven't seen your little goatee in a while here.
Let's try and keep this at least PG-13.
Zack Snyder, straight out of Gotham.
All right. So
Rebel Moon Part 2 comes out, I think, next week. Are you ready? You gonna watch?
Oh yeah. I'm waiting with bated breath.
I might actually watch Part 1 now that Part 2 came out, and I'll just maybe watch both of them.
It's called Scargiver. What the hell?
I'm actually more intrigued about this than the first one, to be honest with you. Scargiver? I'm like, what? Yeah.
It just sounds so silly. Scargiver? Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, movie titles are ridiculous anyway.
Sorry to all our Snyder fans. We won't.
Sorry, I just said I was going to watch
it. We won't rip him anymore.
For watching it now?
We won't rip him anymore. Well, I can't even. That's not true. We probably will. But
hey, I love BVS.
For now.
Always have.
I know you do.
Yeah. Since the day we met, I've loved BVS.
It's okay. Like I said, there's things in it I do like. I just like don't like it overall, but there's things I like. So,
Gal Gadot.
But I'm not going down that road again. We're not going down that road again. Speaking of things that you liked and I didn't, let's start with the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire review.
I gave my review on... I bought an Ecto. That's how much I love this stupid movie. I went out and bought the car.
Okay. I thought that was the popcorn thing for a minute.
No, my Regal didn't have any of that stuff, so I went to Target across the street and I bought an Ecto-1.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Tell them what you thought.
I thought it was really cool. Is it the most coherent movie, let's say? Like, there's definitely like issues and plot holes and stuff that's going on. Sorry, I had to put my Ecto away. But I don't know. It won me over. There's a lot of nostalgia involved, but I honestly think that this Ghostbusters has overtaken Scream, in my opinion, as like the most seamless and flawless transition from like original to like passing of the torch material. Like, I think it's been really effortless. I loved Afterlife. I think I like this one a lot more. I love Phoebe. I was into it. I kind of liked the deception of the ghost. I didn't know where that was going, but I kind of like what they did there. I could have liked a little bit more stuff with Mom and what's his name, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I could have went a little bit deeper there, but it wasn't really that type of movie. I had a lot of fun. I love Finn Wolfhard. I kind of like how he does his own thing with Slimer. I kind of like how a lot of people are saying it's a big episode of the TV show. And to me, it just, I love the continuation. I love how I'm all for at the end. If Bill Murray wants to show up for 2 minutes and put on his pajamas, like, I'm all for it. Like, I don't care. It's great. He tried a lot better in this than he ever did in Answer the Call. I had so much fun with it. I like Winston's involvement in it. I think we can get a little bit more into that, but I'm really excited for the future. I like having the old guys around. I like the new guys. I like expanding the Ghostbusters franchise. I think that's kind of interesting. I loved every second of it. I thought it was cool. And I love what's his name for the Eternals. That guy has he's like one of my favorite actors. When he pops up, I know I'm going to love his character. He just kicks ass.
His name's Nadim in the movie. I know that.
I can't pronounce his real name. I know that. Yeah, I can't. He's got a crazy name. I can't do it, but I love him. He's amazing. Like, he cracks me up. So I was all about it. I had a lot of fun with it. I want you to be, and I watched your grumpy review. And I was like, that's it. That's typical Holzman. I'm going to love this. And I sat there and my brother was with me and we loved it and we got nostalgic at parts. And I don't know, man. Like, I'm a big fan of this. I really hope this season goes to a third one. I'm all about it. I really am.
It's just too much of it seemed like a lot of the stuff in the movie was out of place to me. I guess that's the biggest problem I have with it. Like you said, it's not a very coherent film. I feel like the Phoebe stuff is very good. That stuff was very well done. And her development as a character from the first movie to me was very, very good. I don't like you said, you like Finn Wolfhard. To me, what is he even doing in this movie? Like, there's not much for me there with him. Paul Rudd is simply there to give one-liners. In my opinion, that's what he does the entire film. It's just...
Is that what Paul Rudd does, though?
Well, Well, no, like he's in other things, he's got much more of a substantial lift in the films. Like this is, to me, he's just like the comic relief, and it's so on the nose that that's what he's there for. I thought having the legacy characters, like it was nice to see Janine and it was nice to see them back. It's very cool from that perspective, since, you know, I was a kid when the first movie came out, so it was very cool to see all of them back. But outside of Ray and Winston, none of the rest of them needed to be there. Those two actually have something to do with the movie and what goes on in the film. I mean, I love Bill Murray, so yes, but he seemed weird and out of place. And I
was like, give me Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis. I was like, can I please get Rick Moranis back? I had fun with it. I love seeing them all. I love Peter's entrance. I missed Ghost Egon. Like that's my negative with the movie. Like I missed Ghost Egon.
Well, let me ask you this question. Are you, for the next one, do you want to see the legacy characters back, or would you like to see them just move forward with?
No, I like having them pop up, whether it's like they're all hang, and it doesn't have to be like a major role. I think Ray wants it. Like if Dan Aykroyd wants to put on the suit and do it all, that's great. If Venkman wants to pop in at Ray's occult and wants to drop a liner and then leave, that's fine. I like having them in their small limited roles. I like the role Winston has. I think it's awesome that he's kind of like the philanthropist behind it. I think that's great. It's all about Phoebe, really. I mean, it's all about seeing her grow up as kind of like the heir to the throne, and that's kind of where I'm at. But I enjoy all the antics and everything. I wish there was a little bit more ghost stuff. It seemed to mostly be about them and adapting, and then I loved having Peck back. That was amazing. It's just a lot of fun.
He disappears for like a long portion of the film, and then he just pops back in.
That's what the mayor does in this movie. He pops in, he pops out. That's all they do. It's a, you know, like, come on. Like dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad. I feel like the fans of the cartoon growing up, they really love this movie. Everyone I know who's a little bit younger than me and in that age group, seems to have really, really gravitated and loved the film. So that's great. I love that people love that. You guys love it. I definitely think there's room for another one. I'd like to see how this story, how her story progresses. So I'm not saying it was a total loss for me. I just didn't connect with me on the level I guess I was expecting it to. So, but yeah, I mean, definitely hope we do get another one. I like to see the I'm sure they had a plan as a trilogy. So let's see what they do there.
I love that damn car, man. That car, like I just love movie cars, and that's just one of them.
Yeah, that car is fantastic, and I like how they implemented the drone stuff into it, so they made it a little more modern. That was clever. So yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens with the franchise. I haven't heard anything being greenlit yet, or that they're doing a third one. So we'll see, I guess, what the studio feels, how it's performed. I don't know the numbers it's doing. Being in England, I wasn't paying attention to it, to be honest. So I don't know how it's been doing box office wise. But
were they talking any movies over there? You bring it up.
What?
Was there like any movie buzz or anything over there from what you can?
I mean, Back to Black, obviously, because of Amy Winehouse being English. So that's the movie buzz that people were kind of waiting for. And it actually came out this weekend over there. It doesn't come out for us until May, but it came out this weekend. So we're going to start getting some early feedback on that one. But that's really the only film I can think of that I heard any kind of discussion about. So.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so moving forward, we did get some updates from James Gunn about certain DC properties.
Here we go.
And the first one he mentioned, started talking about, was The Authority. He said that people were, there've been questions about what's going on. So he kind of wanted to give an overview of everything. And he said this in the past, but he was like, we won't greenlight a film until we have a finished script that we're happy with. And we won't cast a film until the script is finished. This is why some projects are moving faster than others. And there's always going to be, it's always for quantity over quality. I mean, quality over quantity.
So he's telling us the plans have changed.
You think that's what he's saying?
Well, if he's telling, Supergirl's ahead of Brave and the Bold. right? I just figure, you know, it's things have changed. I think Supergirl has jumped ahead of a lot of films. Like, we'll talk about it later, but you know, you can't tell me that movie's not going to come out soon, right? They just hired the director. So
yeah,
I think it's for whatever reason, for whatever it fits in his story. Yeah. I think the plan has changed. I always felt like Brave and the Bold was more of a priority. No,
you would think it's a Batman story that right? it would be, you would think.
And so yeah. I don't know. But again, Matt Reeves throws a little bit of a wrench into those gears. So,
yeah, I mean, he said that what goes on with the Batman wouldn't stop his production of Brave and the Bold, but he might just be saying that behind the scenes. He might be like, yeah, let him get his story, at least the first two films done before they introduce another one, which makes a lot of sense. He does describe what the Authority is, though, because I really honestly know nothing about them.
That makes two of us.
So he said they're basically have good intentions, but they think the world is completely broken. And the only way to fix it is to take things into their own hands, whether that means killing people, destroying heads of state, changing governments, whatever they want to do to make the world better. And we'll see how that journey goes for them. But as I said earlier, there's morally gray characters of which these are.
Is this Watchmen?
So kind of a little, maybe. Sounds like it could be.
Is this how WB gets Watchmen into the DC universe? Not Watchmen specifically, but is this like their way of doing something like that?
Well, one of the characters is in, I mean, everyone's in Superman, but one of the characters is actually in Superman. Yeah. So
that was always one of my big gripes, just because like this is clearly a setup move.
Yeah.
And if she has a huge role, like that's a big setup move.
But. Yeah, it's the engineer character. So she's the one that's in. So, yeah, man. I don't know. It does sound interesting, though. This kind of a movie, I always like the new things because I have no preconceived notions of what they are. Mm-hmm. So you can go in much more cleaner and without having any expectations. So this is one of the projects I'm actually looking forward to. So we'll see how it evolves from there. But it's going to be interesting. He also released a picture for Peacemaker season 2.
I saw that.
That he's starting to film. So
he's filming them both at the same time.
Yeah, with Superman, I guess.
Like, he's not directing every episode. He didn't direct every episode of season 1. So
no, he's not there. Yeah, he's basically overseeing it. So he has to be there, obviously, for the first one.
Yeah, and I feel like he's going to direct like 3 or 4 episodes.
Probably. So
minimum of 2, I think. I think you get a minimum of 2.
Yes.
And he's probably writing all of them.
Yeah, that's obviously his baby. And that's where he started in the industry as a writer. So yeah, I would assume.
You don't think he's overworking himself, do you? You know,
how can I say that? I don't know.
That's why I asked.
I can't answer that question. I don't know his capacity. I don't know what he's capable of doing.
It just seems like a lot. Do you write 2 movie and you know, like that seems like a lot. It just does.
Maybe he's one of those guys who can handle it.
Maybe.
And if he is, congratulations. We've seen him in interviews. He does seem like he has a lot of energy. So, you know, probably for him, it's just nothing. And who know? I don't know the location of the shoots. And
it did seem like he was pretty much able to write Peacemaker effortlessly. Like, didn't he just kind of say like, it just kind of happened, and he just thought like, wasn't it on the break of? He wrote it on break of Suicide Squad, like during the pandemic.
Yeah,
like it just kind of happened. So he's he was kind of like inspired. He's already in that world working with Cena and this guy, and I'm sure he's just like, okay, I think I could do this.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Peacemaker kind of comes. I think Peacemaker does come a little effortlessly to him. Like, I feel like it's very natural. It's
right.
Peacemaker and James Gunn feel like just Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard for him to write this. It just seems like it just comes very natural to him.
I agree. I think it's something that, like you said, it's his baby. He created the story. So it's a very simple place for him to fall back into when he needs to and write it. And that's a talent in and of itself to me. So
I'm just surprised that Peacemaker isn't in Superman, to be honest with you.
That we know. To be brutally. That we know of. Who knows?
I bet you Superman's in Peacemaker.
Well, he kind of was already.
Well, the new Superman, the old Superman was. He definitely was.
Yeah. So, well, you had mentioned Supergirl, and you had mentioned Supergirl getting the director. So let's just say the director is Craig Gillespie. So he's known for directing I, Tonya, which was an Oscar-nominated film about Tonya Harding. Pam and Tommy, which is the Pam Anderson and Tom.
So that was him?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
He did Cruella, which is the Disney movie about Cruella de Vil.
Mm-hmm. That was with, what's her name?
Emma Stone.
Blondie, yes.
Emma Stone.
Yeah. What's her name? Oh, what the hell? Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
That's the thing of Blondie.
Emma Stone is her name for real. So there you go. And then Dumb Money, which just came out about the GameStop stock thing, which was fantastic. If you didn't see that movie, go watch it. It's very good.
It's funny because like I heard this news. I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is or what he's done. And then you look at his IMDb, it's like, I know everything this guy has done.
Yeah, and it's all pretty successful. So. The only one I didn't see is Cruella, and all the other ones were pretty good. So,
I did not see Cruella. I remember Emma Stone was in it, but they all ring bells, and especially that GameStop one. I didn't see it, but I paid a lot of attention to when it was actually going down. I should now I'm more inclined to watch it.
You should. It's very good. It's a very good movie.
But I remember like when it was going down, like in real time, I was like, "This is fascinating."
And Paul Dano's in it, so
oh, cool! It's all connected.
Yeah.
So obviously the Riddler's in Supergirl now. That's great. I'm excited to see where this goes. Woman of Tomorrow fizzled out for me when I was reading it. Like it started off really hot and heavy and I was really into it. I was like, this is great. And then just kind of was like, it's kind of like just died. the best way for me to describe it just fizzled out. So, I'm excited that Supergirl's on the screen. I love her. We all know that. I mean, I'm pumped. I was all about the show for 6 years. Suck it, Holzman. and yeah, I was pumped for The Flash, and I'm going to be excited for this one. Makes me go, I should just go watch some, I should grab some Popeyes and go watch Helen Slater. That's what I should do to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. This is I'm happy this project's going forward. I was happy when they cast Millie Alcock to play Kara. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And now that they've attached a director like Gillespie, I have very, very high hopes for this movie. So we'll see how it goes. But he's dealt with female lead characters before, and he knows how to fashion the story. So if it's
I said about Paul Feig, and then he made Ghostbusters Answer the Call. Those exact words.
Well, it doesn't all work. But I like where the possibility is for it to go. So we'll see how that pans out going forward. Moving over to Marvel, we had a Fantastic Four casting while we were away. They've cast the Silver Surfer, and Julia Garner has been cast as the Shala Baal version of the classic character. I do not know the Shala Baal version. Do you?
Do Holzman? Do you? Holzman. Shala Baal. Of course, I know about Shala Baal. Holzman. How do you not know about Shala Baal? Anyway, look. Here's the deal. I don't know what they're doing, but this sounds like a really dumb gimmick, in my opinion. Shala Baal is Surfer's girlfriend, right? She's basically the whole reason he says, no, don't destroy my planet. I'm going to sacrifice myself for my woman and my planet and my race and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes off and destroys everything in his path. Oh, Galactus does. Obviously, the second greatest comic book character of all time, by Uxus. So he does that. So basically, now they're going to do Shala Baal's a surfer. So is she going to be the herald? And then Norrin comes later. I don't know. This is dumb. This is stupid. Just give me Norrin Rad as a Silver Surfer. I don't know what you think you're doing. I'm sure you actually have a legitimate idea. I just don't think it's good. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'd rather just give me the material. Why are you changing the material so much? That makes no sense. I don't think she's actually the Silver Surfer. I think she's a herald. And if anyone pays attention to the Fantastic Four, like you should be, because I don't know why you wouldn't be if you're listening to the show. I think she's going to be a herald, and then Norrin comes in, and he's going to somehow he's going to sacrifice himself so she can be a normal alien again. And that's all I can think of, but I still think it's stupid. Just so Norrin Rad and just do what you're supposed to do and follow the source material.
So so probably they might be using her as an introductory type of
something like that. She's going to introduce us to Galactus somehow. I think she's going to be a herald. I don't think she's the Silver Surfer. Maybe she is. And somehow Norrin, like, I don't know. There's a transfer of power. I don't know, But it, to me, it's and she's a fantastic actress. Like she was in what, Ozark or whatever.
Yeah, she was in Ozark. Yeah,
she's badass. Like there's no doubt this chick can handle her own. I just she's not the Silver Surfer. They're not giving me all the information. This is intentionally put out here to make me angry. They know exactly what they're doing because they want us to talk about this. So they're going to feed us this horrible story. I don't think she's the Silver Surfer.
But why would they say she was cast?
They want us to talk about the movie, and they want fanboys to get angry to talk about the movie because they need to generate buzz.
That's okay.
In my opinion. I think she's a herald. I don't think she's a surfer.
Well, this is the movie itself is supposed to be a period piece, right?
Yeah, but then again, she's too big of an actress just for a cameo, so I have no idea. But then again, so is Drew Barrymore.
So that's true.
So
I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out, but they're clearly going for a certain angle. And I think you're right. I think they're going to use her to bring Norrin in somehow. How, I don't know. Maybe by the end of the film, we'll see. But it does seem weird to do that character and it not be Norrin Radd. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm still looking forward to the film.
I am, but now this is like the first bit of news. I'm like, oh, God, what are you doing? Like, everything was great until now.
Staying in Marvel, you had mentioned actually this in the past, and I thought it was a funny thing to actually read, because when I read it, I said, Pete's mentioned this before. Apparently, Robert Downey Jr. would be happy to return as Tony Stark in Iron Man.
I think he's got gambling debts like Otani.
You know what? When I first read it, I was like, I hope they don't do it, whatever. But you know what? Secret Wars out there. It's a possibility, right?
I don't know if he'll come back as the star like he was at one point. But you will see him again as Iron Man at some point. That gimmick is in their back pocket and it'll be there for a while.
I mean, yeah, we know with that title, they could bring back all the original characters if they wanted to. But he said, it's too integral a part of my DNA. That role chose me. And look, I always say never, ever, but no, sorry. I always say never, ever bet against Kevin Feige. It's a losing bet. He's the house. He will always win. So he hasn't been winning lately, but overall, he usually
that man has. Ain't broke.
No. In life, he's yes. In life, he has won.
That man ain't broke.
There is no arguing that. But it was also interesting to read. I know they spoke to Gwyneth Paltrow about it. It was interesting to read what a really clever and talented actor Downey is, that they would be doing the lines that were written in the script, and he was like, "I'm not saying that."
He's basically Bill Murray.
Yeah, right. Like, and he would just improv them, and she said that we would completely do when we shot. It would be completely different than what was written down on the paper. Those people could do stuff like that. I've tried improv before. It's hard. They're very clever. So
yeah, no, he's a very talented actor. He's had a little bit of a checkered past, but I'm glad he kind of rebounded. And you know, because look what he's capable of. You know, he's in a bunch, and now is, you know, he was recently in Oppenheimer and stuff, you know,
like Oscar winner. Yeah. He's an Oscar.
So he's, you know, I like guys like Robert Downey Jr. more than I like guys like Hugo Weaving. Like Robert Downey's like, oh yeah, I was Downey's like Momoa. He's like, yeah, I was Iron Man. It was great. It was fun. I'm also in this serious movie. And Hugo, he's like, oh, it was Megatron. It was miserable. You know, oh, it's the Red Skull. It sucked. I got $77,000 million. Like, it's like, but he's like, oh, I just want to be like this thespian and do like plays. Like, okay, so just do fucking plays then.
Why are you complaining to us for?
I know. Oh, I was in a booth and I had to make a gravelly voice and pretend I was a robot. And it's like, shut up.
There was a bit of this article about with the Downey stuff that I was surprised to read, because it says he's still attached to do the third Sherlock Holmes film. And I've been hearing about this film for years now.
Weren't they very successful? Weren't they pretty successful, the first two ones?
The first one was very good. People have problems with the second one. I didn't. I thought they were really good.
Who's Watson in these movies?
Jude Law.
Yeah. That's what I remember.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny Robert Downey Jr. over Jude Law. Like, yeah. I would have thought he would the roles would be reversed for that one. But I kind of like those Sherlock Holmes movies.
I do too.
I, even though they came out like what, the same time as the, didn't Cumberbatch do Sherlock Holmes as well?
Yeah, the show came out. It was around the same time.
They were doing the same thing. So I actually dug both.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is kind of cool.
So yeah, I mean, I hope it happens. I really do enjoy those movies. So I really,
I like Jude Law a lot. So,
and Guy Ritchie does them, and I love Guy Ritchie as a director.
Wasn't
so
Jude Law in Captain Marvel?
He was.
Yeah. So it's all connected.
They're gonna end the movie and cover it as out. Marvel characters.
They'll be Marvel characters. So then it'll connect to that universe, and they can do their Sherlock Holmes Iron Man crossover that'll be produced by Kowalski Productions.
Oh, he would that is definitely a Justin Kowalski type of movie. Yes. Yeah. He would like that as well.
Justin's superhero, like Trinity, would be like Iron Man, Sherlock Holmes, and what's his name? Zorro. Like, this is rad, man. This is so great. Dude, LA, everyone love this. It's great, dude. It's just crazy driving on the LAX. It's just insane. But yeah, dude, it's a trilogy of superhero movies. Kowalski, here we go, dude.
So there was a cool little bit that came out that I wasn't expecting. I don't know if you knew more about this since you're a comic reader, but they're going to continue Batman 89 with a brand new novel. Guy who writes Star Wars, John Jackson Miller, mm-hmm. is going to be taking it on.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I was told this news by Ryan Lauer of the Batman Book Club. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it from the Batman Book Club. That's a Twitter handle. I heard it from Ryan Lauer of the Batman Book Club. I think this is fantastic. I pre-ordered it already. It comes in hardcover, $30 on Amazon. I'm excited. Batman Resurrection takes place right after 89. So, you know, it kind of forgets Returns and everything that came after it. And I'm interested to see what it's about. This guy has wrote quite a bit of your Robes and Fleshlight movies, novels. So maybe you'll check this out. And then, because I imagine then you can just, you know, hop down your Knights of Old Republic and get that checklist going. So this guy he knows how to write the genre, and obviously he's been doing this for a while. So he's got a couple of these Star Wars books out there. So people are buying them and reading them, digging them. So I'm pumped. He seems to be a lifelong Batman fan. He seems to be a big fan of 89. And when I was buying the book, they gave me like this whole like diatribe of his love for 89. I was like, okay, I'm buying this regardless. But it seems like it's in good hands. So that's positive. But yeah, I'm all about this, all about going back to the world of 89 and seeing what's different and comparing it to Batman 89. That's exciting for me, seeing the different interpretations of this universe. One from the actual writer of Batman 89, Sandham Sucker Kowalski, and now this new guy who's going to write Batman Resurrection. So I'm all about this Batman 89 Resurrection. You know, as much as the Flash bombed and everything else, and everyone hates Batman 89 the comic, I'm sitting here like, yeah, I'm all about it. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. I'm a very happy fan. So
I didn't finish the 89 comic, but I liked what I read of it. So
okay.
I don't know. I didn't think it was terrible.
Oh, well, it got the Holzman seal of approval. What else do you need? Holzman wrote a comic.
But this John Jackson Miller has written a lot of Star Wars stuff.
Have you read any of this stuff before?
It's weird. I've read a lot of Star Wars books. I haven't read his stuff, which is crazy.
Because I thought you read a lot of Star Wars
but books. But I do want to read The Living Force. I didn't know that was out.
Because you're always giving Shu a lot of crap because he doesn't read the books.
No, I give him crap for not watching the animation.
Oh, is that what it was? Else. Okay, then I got it mixed up.
It's weird because Star Wars animation, honestly, might be better than all the live action stuff they've done.
Cartoons are great,
which is crazy. But
I think the Star Wars stuff is more like a 3D type thing.
Yeah, right? It's got that interesting. Some people don't like the animation style.
I like the animation style. I think it's cool, especially for Star Wars.
But I think it's fantastic. I
don't like Star Wars.
Fantastic. I know that. Yes, I do.
Many but I like times. You. Oh, I like me some Holzman.
You told me this many times.
If I didn't like you, I would not sing about you in the shower.
Oh, Jesus, God.
That's where most of my material comes from.
Okay.
Dub, dub, dub. Holzman tub. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Kind of scares me that you sing about me when you're naked in the shower.
It's Holzman.
It's a little scary for me, to be honest. Look,
come on.
But, hey, it's okay.
Gladiators fought naked.
Okay, what?
And they were men.
I don't know how fighting and showering are the same.
Two man enter, one man leave. Two man enter, one man leave.
You seriously need help, Pete.
That's why the government removed the paint shit, the lead from the paint.
Yeah, guys, this was a conversation we had before we came on.
The government, the show today. You want to know why the government removed lead from paint? It's not because of paint chips. It's because they can't see to our through our houses with the lead paint. Think Superman, Kryptonite, lead box.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
See, guys, Pete's going down the conspiracy theory.
It's election season.
All right, more good news, especially for the fans of the Ninja Turtles. I actually love this news we got, and I can't wait for this movie to come out.
I got something for you.
Walter Hamada, the former head of DC Films, the disgraced former head of DC Films, because I feel like he got a raw deal, but whatever. Now that he's at Paramount and he has his own film, his own film company, he's going to be doing a version of the Last Ronin story, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Last Ronin.
Rated R.
Yeah, as a rated R, yes. In a rated R version. So I love that it's rated R because, honestly, it's the only way you could truly do that story. Mm. It's the one of the few
Did you read this stories one?
I've actually read, yes.
Horseman's 2 for 2 today, kids! He's back in action!
So I definitely can't wait for this. This is a project that I thought they should have done a long time ago.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And the fact that it's Hamada and I know it's going to have the horror element involved a little bit.
Back in town.
I'm in. I'm totally in. So
the first thing I was scrolling Twitter and the first person I interacted with was, the great Nico Caruso, who was really pumped for this, loved the idea. And I just was like, hold on, hey, wait. I remember those back in the day tweets, Walter hater. So we had a little funny exchange back then, back on Twitter, and that was good. Nico's a good sport. I'm pumped for this. I'm happy Walter is doing stuff. I think he got the raw end of the deal here. I think his DC universe was at least very interesting, to say the least. A little unfortunate that it never panned out, but I like what I got. And, you know, he did his best trying to clean up that mess. We'll see where this goes. I'm all for some live action turtle stuff. I hope this is the beginning of a beautiful trend and this continues. I have not read Last Ronin. I'm not a huge turtle like lover, like the turtles. I don't read a whole lot of turtle comics. I know that's where they originated. I buy them for my brother. That's usually like part of his birthday, Christmas. Like I buy them turtle stuff. So he has them. I may borrow them from him and actually read them now, but, I'm pumped. I'm excited. It was great to see everyone, who shat on Walter for the last, like, you know, year and a half, be really pumped for his next production. And that includes, Cryborg. I'm sure I saw he responded as well, which we all knew was going to happen. So, and it seemed like a lot of people turned on him as well, which is funny to see. So it's amazing what a few years and a couple of hashtags can do, but
I know,
you know, that's why we are, we keep receipts now. Oh my gosh.
The weird thing is in the book, at least the copy of the book that they're showing in, the Hollywood Reporter article, Robert Rodriguez does the introduction, and I would love if he was the one to direct this. I think it'd be great. So we'll see.
I'm a big fan of his. I know a lot of people, some of his movies are kind of iffy. Like, I know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I know it's like kind of like his like most hated movie.
Even if they got him or Del Toro or someone like that to do it, I think it'd be fantastic. So I can't. Yeah. This project I was very excited to hear announced, and I'm really looking forward to it. So as we also know, CinemaCon was this past week. Last week, right? So we got some news coming out of that, as we always do. The first thing I'm going to bring up, Pete and I talked a little about Transformers before we came on air, but they did the announcement for two things. Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie is a go. That we all know that was teased at the end of Rise of the Beasts. So that's a go.
I always kind of felt like I was like, really? Like, that's kind of a given. It made money. Yeah. We all kind of dug it. Like, You know, it was, I think it's one of the more profitable Transformers movies.
Yeah. It, to me, it's one of the better ones. I love Bumblebee. Yeah,
I was a big fan of it.
Yeah. Bumblebee was, I liked Bumblebee a lot. Rise of the Beast was very good as well. Also, the Transformers 1 story, the animated film that's going to star Chris Hemsworth and Scarlett Johansson. They did the announcement there, and they apparently they did a little sizzle reel for it there. And that's the story about everything that happens before the early life of Optimus Prime when he was...
Am I going to see Jazz? That's my question. Like, I never see... Jazz never pops up in any more media, especially the live-action movies, because he's been dead since the original. So, like, I guess he's my favorite, and I get a little disappointed.
Right. I don't know. I mean, we should... You should... They reference Bumblebee in it. They reference Prime. They reference Alita 1. And then, of course...
Tired of Bumblebee.
And then, of course, in the early, if you know your Transformers history, Optimus Prime and Megatron were brothers at one point.
That so, I didn't know. Yeah. Holtzman's getting
Brothers in arms, they say. But yeah, they're robots and stuff. So,
Holtzman, so I love it.
Yeah. So
he's excited to be back. You can see it. He's ray of sunshine. I mean, you don't have this much energy. I love it. You're amazing.
This title. The Transformers stuff to me, a lot of the stuff that I've seen on Netflix that they've done has been very good. And I don't think
you rave about the cartoons all the time.
Yeah. And I don't think it gets a lot of attention. And this was my biggest, my favorite cartoon as a kid was Transformers, Voltron.
Did you get into Beast Wars yet?
No, I mean, I haven't watched.
That's still the one you have. I can't believe it. Especially after the movie, because you enjoyed the movie so much.
I know. I should go back and watch it. But at the time when it was coming out, I was like more into sports at that time. I was really focused on football.
Oh, it's the Knicks. It's the Knicks.
So, yeah, it was basketball. And then I was playing football.
And the Isles are fighting for a spot.
So, yeah. So, it's been a while. But I'm really looking forward to this, and I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait to see what they do with that story.
I'm a little nervous about the G.I. Joe movie because they haven't made good G.I. Joe movies.
True. It's definitely a fair comment to make. You know, but they've been a lot of fun, I'll say that, but they just haven't been good.
I don't really like them that much.
So.
I like the Transformers movies a lot, to be honest with you. Like Revenge of the Fallen, I enjoy. Like I know people hate it.
I know
Dark of the Moon, Dark Side of the Moon, whatever. That one's might be my favorite, to be honest with you. I love that one a lot. The third one's really fun, especially because of Nimoy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I really enjoy a lot of. Last night I did not like. I'll say that I admit I was like this is. I remember I watched it for the first time. I think you, Craig, hit me up. Like, you're in for a treat. And I'm like, this is like Trey Jackson, I think, hit me up too. Like, this is so weird. I just didn't understand it.
Oh. The problem with that one.
Because then before it was Extinction, right?
Yes.
I didn't mind Extinction. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
The Dinobots were cool.
I was glad T.J. Miller got killed. Like, I was into that. I was like, you deserve that.
So that the parts of that movie were cool, I have to say. But the crazy thing about those two in Age of Extinction, Stanley Tucci is that scientist guy. And then,
yes, you warned me about that. You're like, Stanley Tucci plays two. I was like, this is weird.
And in your head, you're like, is that supposed to be his ancestor? Like, are they doing that to kind of get you? But it's never stated. It's totally just, if that's what you want to believe, that's what it could be for you. I don't know. Michael Bay at that point was clear to me tired of the damn thing, and he just wanted to get the movie done.
He's like, I don't want to write anything. I'll blow it all up. I will blow up everything in my path, but I don't want to write one scene.
And then making Earth Unicron. God, like I don't even get me. That movie is so weird and bad.
Oh, I think man. Even Tom McClellan warned me about last night, and I was like, okay, I was like, I've never seen this. I love Wahlberg.
I see. I'm not a fan of his, but that's
fine. I love how bad he is. That's you know, it's like, oh, he just does that stupid face all the time. Like that M. Night Shyamalan movie. What is that one? The wind. What was it, like The Wind?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
I forget
the birds die and I forget. Yeah, I know which one.
I actually like the movie, but it's like it's you know, it's a guilty pleasure.
I know. Yeah. Well, whatever. he's only good for to be in movies where he plays a guy from Boston.
Which he's great in what's it called? A Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
Departed.
Yeah, Departed. He's good in The Departed. He's good in Fighter, obviously. Because he's playing what's Mickey, what's the boxer's name? I forget his last name.
Rivers.
Not Rivers. That was a baseball player.
I was like, no one's gonna get that reference. No one's gonna get the Mickey Rivers reference.
No, he doesn't play Mickey Rivers, who was black, by the way. But
Mickey Rivers was a speed demon, man. No one can steal bases like Mick.
Oh man. Anyway. We got more news from CinemaCon though, with Marvel. They had apparently a nice little panel dedicated to Deadpool and Wolverine. Apparently, Kevin Feige dropped like 80 million F-bombs during the presentation. He told everyone to silence their phones. You got more footage from the movie. I really don't want to talk about it because you guys can read it if you want to read it. So I don't really want to go into it. But let's just say that there's very strong buzz coming from what they did show.
Good. I'm excited because I think Deadpool needs to be a hit.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But that news also came out. They spoke about Captain America. There was footage for Captain America New World Order or Brave New World, whatever it is now. I know they changed the name. I'm forgetting which one it is.
Oh, my God. That's right.
I forgot about that. They had footage from that. Talking about that. So these things are coming, folks. As we know, Deadpool's this year, and then next year is Fantastic Four.
And then they talked about Thunderbolts as well.
Yes.
Apparently, Thunderbolts has an asterisk at the end of the title, and there's a reason for that. So that's going to be explained. And I'm actually excited for Thunderbolts.
I am too. We got that little Florence Pugh did that little video when she was on set talking about the movie. So we got a little bit more from there as well. So there's a lot of good stuff coming out from Marvel. At least it seems like it's good.
Garrett loves Pugh. He's a big Pugh girl. Pugh fan.
Yeah, not really actually, but yeah. So CinemaCon guys, if you guys have any extra news actually from it that we didn't get, let us know. But it seems like there's some really good stuff coming down the pike. So,
yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. Have you been watching this X-Men 97? Everyone on Twitter is talking about it.
Yes, I have.
It's good?
Yes, the last episode was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not watching it, you should. It's easy.
No, I'm going to sit this one out. I told you all to watch Gotham Knights and you all laughed at me. So this is my chance to do it.
I watched Gotham Knights. What are you talking about?
I'm not talking about you.
So, all right. Well, this is the part of the show I'm sure you're going to be happy about. The Nolan brothers.
Oh, the beef has returned.
There's no beef. Yeah, we met when I was in England. We had a nice long discussion.
Oh, you strained it out, huh? A little shepherd's pie.
Yeah, we're good.
It's Irish.
We're good. It's actually both. It's okay.
It's pub food.
It really is. It's fantastic, though. I love it. Anyway.
Mashed potatoes, yeah.
Jonathan Nolan was recently doing an interview on the Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepard. And he said that it took some convincing to get Chris to direct The Dark Knight. So,
I believe that.
You know what? I do, but he kind of makes it sound like Batman Begins was a huge hit, and we all know it wasn't. Like, let's not. It was a bigger hit when after it came, you know, was on DVD, he was
trying to convey to his brother, though. I think that in itself is probably one of the things Nolan is like, you know, I think that's kind of what the message he was. It's bigger than what you think it is.
Right. So
that's how I took it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's fair. But he said
Nolan's a one and done guy. The fact that he came back and did two is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, he said that he didn't want to become a superhero movie director, right? That's what Jonathan said in the interview. You know, and I think you do kind of get typecast, but to me he was still early in his career as well. He didn't have the library that he has now. But to me, if you're good, you're good. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, look at the Russos. They're bad.
But they're good in that lane, right?
See, that's producer driven. That's why like it's not all on them.
Well, yeah. The story is based, but the shots and the movie and the direction and what the actors do, that's on them. That's their, you know, that's their direction.
If Kowalski can discredit Sam Hamm, I'm going to discredit the Russo brothers. So bite me.
But that's as a writer. Hamm was a writer. This is, we're talking about guys directing. It's a different.
Yeah, writers are important too. I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing more to say, really.
All right. So he went on to speak more about it. And he said that while Nolan was very proud of it, he didn't want to become a superhero director. So Jonathan said to him, you know, we just built this amazing sports car. We took it for a drive. Why not take it for another one? And after a while, he obviously warmed down. We know we got the Dark Knight. And it wound up being at least
a wonderful send off for Batman.
The Dark Knight did.
Oh, Rise. I'm sorry. I was ready for you to pounce on Rises. I just was. I was waiting for it. I apologize. I jumped the gun. I'm just used to it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll never apologize to Justin, but I'll apologize to you.
Yeah. He also went on to talk about Rises, like you said, and he said that they disagreed over Bane, being the villain. Jonathan wanted to do the Riddler. Chris, you know, he thought it was too close to what they did with the Joker. He didn't want to.
That's always been a knock on Riddler.
Yeah.
You know, and the characters are very different, but a lot of people see them as kind of that, you know, duo of crime. I think they would have been fine regardless of what they would have done. We got a little if you really want to stretch the fanboy theory, Mr. Reese, we got a little bit of Riddler in there, right? Mm-hmm. That was always the online theory before Twitter that Coleman Reese was actually the Riddler. I personally liked Bane in the movie, so I got no gripes with it. But I get where, you know, they're coming from. You know, creatively, you have an idea for what you can do. And, you know, the director actually went out on this, but... you know, like that's part of the creative process. Like, I have this idea. Let's kind of do this. And I'm sure there's compromises. And I'm sure there's a way to make a version of Dark Knight Rises with the Riddler as the main villain. You know, and I'm sure it's not that complicated for Nolan to kind of figure out. Like, if you were to say, Chris, like, just, you know, hey, how would you do it if the Rises you made never existed? How would you do it with the Riddler? I'd be interested to see what he did. But I'm interested to see all Nolan movies, except for Oppenheimer, because it's basically a documentary. Not because I think it's horrible. I'm not on a holding here. Yeah,
well, no, I didn't think it was horrible. Again, no,
I'm not saying you did.
Oh, okay.
You hate everything else.
No, I don't. The few movies of his that I really didn't, they weren't bad films. It just didn't connect with me. One was Dunkirk.
Oh, that's right. You were not a Dunkirk guy.
I did not like Dunkirk, but most people.
You didn't tell anybody that when you were in England, did you?
No, I didn't tell anybody.
I'm just okay. All right.
So yeah, I mean that's and then Tenet, because I think it's a good film. I honestly don't know what the hell I watched.
And
so
I actually own Tenet. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I have to see it because you say that a lot of people have said that, and I'm very interested to see what this movie's about.
Yeah.
But it's just baseball season. It's very tough.
I will never say his movies are poorly created. He does a very good job creating his movies and making his movies. It's just sometimes the content doesn't jive with me. That's all. So, but the studio was pushing for Rises, not only for the Riddler, but for DiCaprio to play, Leonardo DiCaprio to play him.
I've heard this.
Yeah. So,
that would be really cool.
Yeah. So Jonathan said that Christopher Nolan doesn't work that way. He creates the film first and then puts the characters in it, not gets the characters.
I thought it was Goyer who said that, but yeah, no.
Yeah. Goyer's the one who said
it. I'll say this. The thing about that I appreciate about the Nolan years are Nolan had the balls to say, no, I'm doing it this way, and no one got in his way. And I feel like sometimes a director got pushed around to do more of the studio wanted to. And that's not their, that's not really their fault. They're doing their job, but I just, I don't know. Everything just really seemed to fall in place for everything to work in the Nolanverse, you know?
Yeah, I agree. No, it was, I've always said this. If you hire a director, let him do what he wants to do. I even felt that with Snyder, even though we've said this many times, even though BVS didn't do so great. If you hired him to do these movies, let him do them, let him finish his story, and then you can move on after that. So that's what we've gotten. The best movies, I feel like that's what we've gotten when the directors have had a little more free reign, even in the MCU, like Coogler had free reign to do Black Panther, you know, things like that. Let these guys do what they do. And then you worry about the other stuff afterwards. That's what I feel. So we did get a long-awaited trailer for Joker, Foyle Adu. I think that's how you say it. Reno, okay. You can yell at me if I said it wrong.
I'm pretty sure you've been taking like Reno's French classes.
So, Pete, I'll let you start. What did you think of the Joker trailer?
I loved it. I was all about it. This is all I need. I don't need anything else. I don't need another trailer. You know, just don't give me 500 trailers anymore. I hate that stuff. This really caught my attention. I'm excited to see. I don't know what's real and what's not. You know,
exactly.
I don't know who's real and who's not. So it's just fascinating. I'm really excited to see where it takes place. It gives me like La La Land vibes at times, you know, because it's like they're dancing and like just the backgrounds. And I was like, it kind of feels like it was kind of inspired by that. Like if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just, it's a lot brighter than I thought it would be. Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of felt like the first one had like that orangish filter hue to it. Right. Where it just kind of looked a little dingier than normal.
Right.
And just, I'm fascinated, just fascinated. I can't wait to see what Todd Phillips came up with.
Yeah. I mean, the use of color, even in the trailer, to offset certain things, right? Like that scene where he's walking, they're perp walking him, and then there's umbrellas, and then they show the top color, and it's all four different colors of umbrella. The scene where the first dance scene, you see him and Harley get together, and the lights in the background of the buildings are all in color. It's got it does have a very theater, musical theater vibe to it.
If it like Backlot, like I don't know.
And man, it just looks really fantastic. I am so intrigued. I was intrigued, obviously, before. Now I really can't wait to see this movie.
It's got a lot of buzz.
Yes. And I agree with you. I don't need anything else. Don't give me another trailer. Leave this alone. Let's just wait and see. And then that scene where she puts the lipstick on the glass between them.
That was cool.
I'm
excited to see what Gaga brings to the table here. Like her Harley Quinn. I'm interested to see what's different from Margot Robbie's.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a marked difference.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm looking forward to it, you know?
Yeah. I really can't wait now. I mean, I couldn't wait before. Now I'm just completely in this trailer.
What are you more excited for, Joker 2 or Dune 3?
Oh, definitely Joker 2 right now.
Yes. Take that, Dune.
I
suck at film Twitter.
I feel like we got the two Dune movies that I knew we were going to get, and they were both fantastic. So I'm satisfied if we don't get a third. I just know they're going to do Messiah. I just know they are. So we'll see. But yeah, this movie, I can't wait. It combines a lot of things that I love. So I'm really looking forward to it. So
yeah, man, dude, if this thing is a hit, I have no idea what's next.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no way that if this thing comes anywhere near the first one, there's no way Todd Phillips is done.
Yeah, but what do you do?
I don't know.
For a third one. That's the thing. And again, we don't know how it ends. So we're speaking here just, you know, saying thing. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you could do, you know.
I didn't know how he was going to do a second one.
Right. But the musical part made it. Right. That's the thing that you made you say, oh, okay, that's different. He's going to try something different. What are you going to do for the third one?
Aqua aerobics. I don't know.
Puppets?
Yeah. Puppets. They'll do puppets. Marionettes.
I don't know. It'd be crazy. But Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, guys, I mean, we posted the trailer. When I posted it right away on the SOG group. So, you guys, you know.
That was from England. Eric did that from England.
I think I was home.
I was eating fish and chips.
No, I told you I didn't eat fish and chips. Now I feel like I missed
out. The audience knows.
I told you I didn't have them. I feel so bad. I should have had them. I need to go back and have some fish and chips.
We should go tomorrow.
So, yeah, I'm traveling this week again for work, but ooh, not
where are you going? Where are you going?
Tennessee.
I'm going to Tennessee. Yeah. Oh, you can get some. Knoxville. You can definitely get fish and chips down there. There's tons of fried chicken down in Tennessee.
I definitely can get fish and chips there. You're right. Correct. I'm sure I can. So,
you can make your own fish and chips.
I could do that too.
You're Holzman.
I could.
You should do it for Insta.
I should. No, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Why?
Not the first time I make it. I've never made them before.
I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'd want to do it from scratch. I wouldn't want to buy like the Gorton's frozen meatloaf.
Go buy a fillet of fish. You bread it. You put it in a frying pan. You eat it.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, there you go. You know you got this.
All right.
You just need some eggs. Go buy some eggs.
Can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
That's it.
All right. Well, we made the omelet in this show, and we've already devoured it, so it's time to go.
That's it. Eric's ready to go. He's been gone for 2 weeks, and he wants to leave again.
All right, Pete. Tell him where they can find you.
Socially, at Pete Illustrated, at Spidey Coalition, at Batman on Film, at Batman Book Club, at @_O_G. What else we got? Facebook group, Facebook fan page. Check that stuff out. That's it. That's about it. That's it.
Yep. Same for me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, @finally33. For this show, Pete already mentioned @straight_O_G. If you're fans of the New York Knicks, @allnickedup, @all_nicked_up. The Knicks are in the playoffs, and if they win today and Milwaukee loses, they will have the second seed in the Eastern Conference, which is kind of quite an accomplishment with the amount of injuries they've had this year. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs this year to just see how things play out. Some of the early round matchups I'm not so sure about, but we'll see. We'll see how it works out. So if you guys are interested in the Knicks, you want to hear us talk about it, me and my two co-hosts, Ty and Joe, give us a watch every Wednesday night at 7:00 Eastern time. Again, I will not be on the show this week because I am traveling for work. Maybe I'll see if I could do it on location. If the Wi-Fi is good at the hotel, maybe I'll give it a shot and see about doing it there from there. But definitely check the other guys out, you know, and interact with us in the comments area if you're interested. And I think that's all. So.
All right.
So for Pete, I'm Eric. You're listening to Straight Outta Gotham, and we'll see you next time.
Booyah.